how you have caused us to come, to approach you. Thank you for the manner of approach you are giving to us today. Thank you for the standing that you have given to us to stand in your holy presence. Thank you for your presence amongst us. Thank you for the open heaven that have been released upon us. Thank you for the unlimited entrance and access you have given to one and to all into your presence. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. And we bless your name. We stand by faith in this holy place. We stand by the blood of the Lamb of God. We stand by faith on the finished work of Calvary. We stand to give you praise and worship and to receive from you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you. Jehovah, the Almighty God, we are in your presence, and there is fullness of joy. There is life forevermore. We open up ourselves to receive the fullness of your joy. We receive of your fullness of your life. For of your fullness we have all received, grace for grace. And the fullness that is in your presence this hour, we come to receive fullness from your presence. Fill us anew. Fill every vessel here, Lord. Fill every vessel to a running over. You have begun it already. And we know you are going to complete it. Father, thank you. Lord, as we go to exalt ourselves in your word, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us so clearly and so distinctly. And let your word bring a transformation. Let your word bring healing. Let your word bring deliverance. Let your word bring salvation. Let your word be as a two-edged sword to pierce into the heart, to reveal the secret of every man's heart, and to give us the grace to repent and turn and be healed in our hearts. Let our hearts receive a new circumcision in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we offer our hearts to you last week, and we gave it to you, Father, and say, use it as it please you in the advancement of your kingdom. And let all the gain that come from that usage, let it accrue to the account of the Son of God who gave himself for us. Lord, we still affirm that standing, that Lord, so shall it continually be, that our heart will continually be a treasure in your hand, that you'll be able to say of us, like you said of David, a man after my heart, that we shall be men and women after your heart, in the name of Jesus. Give us further light, O God, and move us further to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' most exalted name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are going to continue in this meditation. And what we have been trying to get across to us all is that individually we'll be conscious of the state of our heart. We will become aware of it. We will know it. Many know their minds. Oh, I'm thinking this, I'm thinking that. But they don't know their heart. And the lack of the knowledge of the state of the heart has been the downfall of many, many, many. Even many that were doing very well. If Judas has known his heart, he would not go the way he went. He was among the 12, sent out to do miracle, doing great and wonderful thing. But alas, he doesn't know his heart. And when the time came for the test, his heart went exactly where it has always been there. When a man lacks the knowledge of his heart, he will do things and regret it. Say, oh, I didn't know I would do that. Oh, how, why did I do that? It's because of the lack of the knowledge of the state of the heart is taken away from that man. He doesn't know what the state of his heart is. Similarly, in the positive side, you can do things righteously. Positively, I say, me did that? How? I never thought of that. Maybe something has angered you before. Somebody has angered you. And you want to really go and give it to him. But you got there, you find yourself so meek, so gentle. And you speak to him or her in a brotherly way. And you left the place. I say, oh my God. But I was thinking I was going to really box this person. My mind was to really see him and give it to him. But you find yourself weak. It is the state of your heart. You didn't know it. A sister, I think I've told this story. A sister was walking, maybe in a pure white, like our brother standing. And it was raining. And a vehicle just wet her with muddy water. Completely muddy. And she was going to a function. Somebody whose heart is already, will rain all manner of obscenity and curses upon that man. In the heat of her heart, she said, God bless you. She said, why did I say that? Oh man, you did this. God bless you. Everybody was looking at her in surprise. Why will you say that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Not only the mouth speak, the body reacts. You act, you walk based on what is in your heart at that moment. So that is why it is important for every man, everybody who wants to walk far with God, to know the state of his heart. To know what your heart is. And that is why David, a man after God's heart, if there's any man that gives attention to his heart, is the man David. Check the book of Psalm. Check the book of Psalm. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Search my heart. Try my reign. You know, incline my heart towards thy testimony. But, you know, read from Psalm 1 to the end. No wonder God said, this is a man after my heart. A man who give diligent attention to the state of his heart will be a man after God's heart. Look at Psalm 119. Every passage of it is about the heart. Let my heart be inclined towards thy testimony. Let my heart go towards thy law. Let my heart. Say, David, what is happening? Is it only a heart you have? But that is the state of a man who wants to walk far with God. And because each one of you is going to walk very far with God, the hand of God is upon each one and every one of you. That's why you must give time and attention to know what the state of your heart is. And challenges that comes your way, difficulties that come your way, they are God's tool to expose your heart, to make you to know your heart. What did you say at the time of challenges? Reveal the state of your heart. Like I said, many knows their mind. Oh, I'm thinking this. Oh, I'm thinking that. I'm thinking this. Oh, this is what I'm thinking. Which is good. Which is very good. But I said, clear distinction between the mind and the heart. There's a clear difference between the mind and the heart. And you must know when you are thinking something and when the thing you are thinking have dissipated into your heart and has become a life. So when you meditate or when you think about a thing, When something occupies your mind, and I want you to follow this very carefully because this is how it enters into the heart. When a thought comes to you, because it starts from there typically, or a feeling, desire, whatever, just come to you immediately. It comes to you. The action you take when it comes determines where it's going to go. The response you give determines where it's going to go. I will give a brief example of what happened typically. Abra was talking to us about clinical fornication, you know, and all that. The industry of the cartel or whatever. I don't know how a program call it. Now, it's an industry, actually. It's an industry. It's an industrial complex. And a lot of people are engaged in it. Some are part-time workers. Some are full-time workers. Some are employers that employ others. Some are gatesmen. But none of you here has anything to do with it. None of you here has any. In fact, we are against it, to destroy it to the very ground. In the name of Jesus. So how does he move? How do they operate? And how does he work to get a soul? The Bible says her desire is towards what? A precious soul. To turn it to where? Mere bread. Through what? Wordom. His desire is towards you. I want you to know that. The mistress of witchcraft that selleth nation with our wordom, Nahum, the book of Nahum, chapter 3, and selleth family with her fornication. Let me put it this way. The chairlady, the owner of that complex is that mistress described in Nahum, mistress of witchcraft. She's a woman that sits there. And her main target is towards the precious soul. She goes around looking for precious soul. Your soul is so precious in the sight of God. And she's hunting for your soul. But blessed be God, your soul is in Christ. The Lord uphold your soul in life. So he cannot get your soul. Say, he cannot get my soul. All our hunting mechanism, all our hunting devices, when it comes to my soul, they are useless. Because it is written, no weapon, no intrinsic, no extrinsic, no spiritual, no physical, no interpersonal, no organizational, no institutional, no visible, no invisible weapon formed or fashioned against my soul shall prosper. In Jesus' name. They can never prosper. Say, oh, uncle, why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, say, why again? He died and he rose and he gave me victory. You have victory over it. You have victory over that complex. It has got nothing to do with you. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. He can only come around and try to see whether you understand. But God has crowned you with wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. So how does he operate? The first thing he does is to strike your mind. To strike your mind with a thought of lust. After a person, sin or whatever, imaginary, just strike your heart with that thought. Now, what you do with that thought will determine how it will affect your heart. If it's just a thought that passed by and you arrest it immediately and throw it back to where it comes from, it ends there. It may try to come again, but you have the first victory, you will very, very, very likely have the second victory. It's when you have the first defeat that you will very, very likely have the second one and the third one. And by the fourth one, you are a goner. So the first action, the first response, very important. That's the key. The first response you give to that thought is very important. If he fall you in the first attempt, he will probably, very likely, fall you in the second one. So immediately he comes as a thought, flash to your mind and all that. Immediately, what should come to your mind is a response from a new heart that you have. You have what? A new heart. God gave that to you in redemption. Every one of us that has been born again, we have a new heart. And that new heart contains the law of God. It contains the testimony of God. It contains the status of God. Everything listed in Psalm 19. He said, the law of God is perfect. Okay? Converting the soul. All those attributes, they are the various attributes of the word of God in our heart. The law of God, the testimony of God, the status of God, what else? You know, read them. You have them there. Can you put them there? Let's read them. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. We are going to look at them one by one. Let me just list them. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Those are the various attributes of the word of God in the soul of a man. That is describing the total description of the heart of a man, of the new heart. Those are the property, the character of a new heart. Let's read them. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the status of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord. These are the character of a new heart that God has given to you. All these are properties of a new heart. When God package it and give it to you, all these are there. Through learning of the word of God, through the reading of the word of God, you become aware of it. That's why it's important for you to know the state of your heart. Where the testimony is not fully established, he will floor you there. We're going to discuss them one by one. So you need to know his testimony, the judgment. This thing needs to be properly placed. So that whenever the enemy comes, you know what should come from within. You know when the judgment is to proceed out of your mouth. You know when the testimony is to go forth. You know when the law is to go forth. You are so, you know, the Spirit of the Lord has taught you so much that you are conversant with each of these. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's a defense. The fear of the Lord. The judgment of the Lord. Do you know the judgment of the Lord? These are the properties of your heart. But if you don't know any of these, and the enemy see that you are lacking, like I said, we're going to come into the detail. When we come to the new heart, right now we are still trying to round up the digging deep. When we come to the detail, you will see each of these and you will know that this is actually the entire word of God described. This is the way the word of God is communicated to you. And these are already there in your heart. That's the property of the new heart. So you must, when you go to study the Old Testament, the New Testament, these are the things you are looking for. These are the things you are looking for when you are reading your Bible. You want to see the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is effective, it's powerful. And what does it do? It converts the soul. It turns around the soul. It changes the soul. The testimony of the Lord, we spoke a little about it last week. But when we get there, we're going to speak more about it. So, when the idea comes or the thought comes, the Holy Spirit in your heart has all this in his arsenal, ready to deploy them. He's ready to deploy them. Multitude of them, one of them, two of them, three of them. No devil in hell, no temptation, no demon can withstand this. When it is rightly there, you can overcome any temptation. But when it is not there, that's when somebody says, hey, I didn't know why I do it. It's because one or two or three or all of this is missing. So you must know them. When we get to the new heart that you have received of God, we will deal with them individually. And you will now know what your new heart is composed of. So when it comes, when the temptation, when the suggestion comes, and it comes to every man, it even came to Jesus Christ, doesn't he? The Bible says he was tempted at what? At all points. So that you are tempted, or the idea come, or the thought came, is nothing new. You are not peculiar. It's just the same way. It's not dealing with you as though, oh, is that why me? No. Challenges of life, difficulties, oppositions, they come. Never you say, why me? Never you say that. God never make mistake. Everything he allow, there's a purpose behind it. All you need to do is, Father, I don't know where this goes to, but show it to me. Reveal it to me. And he will show it to you. And you will know the end from the beginning. Praise the name of Jesus. The Bible talk of Jesus Christ, that he saw the end. Okay? He saw, so he was able to endure what the contradiction of the cross. He saw the glory at the end. Okay, another passage. I think the book of James. He said, consider the end of Job. Is that not what he said? Consider the end of Job. So God will bring to your consciousness the end of the matter while you are still about going through it. And once you know the end, how it's going to be at the end, you just smile like Ruby is smiling here. You just smile. When you know the end with the eyes of faith, you are able to plot the graph. This is how this thing is going to end. How did you know? I don't know. But this is how it's going to end. You are able to go through the challenges, the difficulties, continually being strengthened by the visions of the end. But how would that vision of the end come? Now that is where the enemy always tries to block. You don't know what the end will be. So you are going through it complaining and murmuring and just hoping somewhere there is going to be. That is not the way life is supposed to be. When a challenge comes, once you pray about it, once you commit it to God, before you get up from your knee in committing it to God, get a word from the Lord. What did I say? After the trauma, the tribulation, the distress, be quieting and get a word from the Lord. And the word the Lord is going to give is a word of peace and quietness. He will not heighten it. He will quiet it. He said, be still and know what? That I am God. He will still that troubled heart and he will give you a word. That is what you should keep looking at as you move on. So when you have the word, when the word comes to you in that situation and you respond by that word, you respond by that word, it's registered in your heart. Let me go back to that example I made. Supposing the lady, look, this driver, you did this to me, your family, and it begins to rain curses. Now, what that man did to her, does not affect his heart, her heart. Does not in any way affect her heart. But what she begins to say back is what goes into her heart and affect her heart. Did we get that? When you are tempted or challenged, the challenge, the temptation does not affect your heart. When you are tempted, that has nothing to do with your heart. Your heart is still intact, pure, as it's supposed to be. But your response is what actually goes into your heart. The moment you respond to that, your heart takes it in. Your heart just absorbs it. Whether your response is a word spoken, whether your response is an action taken, that action, that thought, is the validation the enemy needed about that temptation. And once you validate it, it goes into the heart. So once it gets into the heart, it becomes gradually, and you do not know.
You don't suspect something has entered in. I was talking to a brother, and the talk was going on, and suddenly he raised up his voice. And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, brother. I'm not supposed to do that. I raised up my voice. That's somebody who is sensitive to his heart. I raised up my voice while I was talking to you. I'm not supposed to do that." I said, "God, this is the kind of heart we are looking for. When you'll be able to spot it, when your heart is already getting defiled and getting sown away, you're able to call it back immediately and plead the blood and recover it back. That is a man after God's heart." Don't react to a situation, to an action, to something, but trust God to give you how to act in every situation. All the enemy wants you to do is to react, to pay back, to do it back. The moment you react to that negative reactions, it immediately seeps into your heart, and that takes hold of your heart. We mentioned Judas. He's one of the 12. Under the ministry of Jesus Christ, what best ministry can you be? Jesus Christ was the church leader, the pastor of that 12, just 12 people. And in the midst of that 12, with all the teachings of Jesus Christ, Judas was there when the Lord taught in the Mount of Transfiguration, on the mountain, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." He heard it. And when the enemy came with the opportunity to make extra dollars out of the business, his heart went after it immediately. The Lord will give us strength, and will continue to strengthen us. There is nothing, anything that happens, be watchful over your heart. That's why the Bible says, guide your heart with what? All passion, all diligence. Where do you guide it from? Temptations will come. Desires will come. Challenges will come. All these are coming to attack only one thing, your heart. Your heart. And once you are able to stop it at the point of the thinking about it, and you are able to deal with it there, you will always have the victory. As you and me are like this, there's only one thing God is interested in your life, your heart. He's not interested in how much preaching you preach. He's not interested in you raise the dead, you heal the sick, you do that. It's not. People do that and still go and do wicked things. But there's something he's interested in, your heart. There's something he's looking for to get your heart. That was the difference between Saul and David. Saul was full of all the glory and all the things, but his heart is far away from God. So when the time of testing came, he fell. "Oh, you should have waited for Samuel to come." "Oh, I'm sorry. I fail. I'm sorry. I'm bowed down. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from this unrighteousness." And he goes to his house and begin to pray and cry to God. What do you think God will do? God will send Samuel back and say, "Go and meet him." He has done that several times, isn't it? He will send Samuel and say, "Go and meet Saul. He has called upon me. Go and meet him. Tell him I've forgiven him." That's the nature of our God. But what did Saul did? "You see me? It's not me, the people. It's the people. I will never touch it. It's the people." Look at David. "Oh, you did this." In fact, it was a parable they gave to him. A man had this goat, and he did this, and he did that, and he did that. And he said, that man must die. And the prophet said, "You are the one." Why didn't David argue out? "What do you mean, sir?" He didn't even ask him, say, "Forgive me, O Lord. I have sinned. And immediately the prophet said, "Thy sins have been forgiven." That is the way. He's a man after God's heart, but he made one of the biggest blunders. Such a big blunder that the Bible said that he caused the enemy of God to reproach God. Such a highly placed man, and those enemy of God is not the Amorite, he's not even, he's the kingdom of darkness. Because God has so much boasted about David, like he's boasting about you. See, Thelma, she's my daughter. She's perfect in all her way. There we say, Thelma, I know her. Yeah, go and try. And the devil come with his tail to Thelma. Thelma say, in the name of Jesus, get out! God is saying, I told you, don't go near her. And he run with his tail between his leg and run away. We must be ready to kick him out. You must be so passionate for God that you are ready. Sometimes I say, Satan, just appear now and you will die. Just show yourself now. If I don't kill you, I'm not a son of God. I said, I know you are out to kill me. So it's a mortal battle. Okay? You are out to kill me, isn't it? No problem. Come. And I will kill you. Let's have that passion for God that we make any appearance of sin in whatever way. You are ready to kill it, not with broom, with sledgehammer. Say, hey, it's just a small temptation. Doesn't mean what? What? Small temptation? I just look. It's just a look. Did you not see in the Bible, Jesus Christ speaking? He said, if thou looketh at a woman to lust after her, you have done what? Committed adultery in your heart. And I said, well, you know, in time, we always have a way of spiritualizing things. Well, you know, Jesus actually wasn't talking about that. What is he talking about? Then we excuse it. Hey, no spiritual eyes. This is spiritual eyes. No spiritual eyes. This koro eye. You look at a woman with these eyes to lust, you have committed adultery in your heart. You said, okay, so is it the men that I always said this thing? Both the men and the women. So if you do that first time, and the enemy said, do it again, say, no way, no way. The first look, God will forgive you. But the second look is deliberate, is intentional. God know that your heart still needs to be worked upon. So you resist it immediately. Say, no way. Say, look, no, no, I will not look. Ah, brother, no, sorry, I'm going home. I want to see you. I have an assignment. I will call you and we share the assignment together. The Bible says, flee all appearances of evil. Don't joke with it. This man, devil, is full of, it's a many thousand years experience. Don't joke. Jesus Christ, in fact, said you should be ruthless with sin. He said, if your right hand, what is it? Go to the and cut it off. Don't, please, my brother, that is one thing that can destroy your call. God has a great call over your life. He has great investment over your life. Don't play around with it. How about malice? How about bitterness? How about malice? She said, no. If it's that brother, if it's that sister, no, just go. What? How are you doing? You are only sowing something in your heart and you will reap it. You will reap it. Be at peace and at love with all your brethren. He said that you might be able to comprehend the length and the breadth and the love of Christ. That you may be able to do what? Of the brethren. Love the brotherhood. Did they offend you? Why wouldn't they? That's why the body is there. If you are not in the church, they probably will not offend you. If you are somewhere outside, they don't know you. So would they come to football field or beer parlor and come and offend you there? No. It's because you are in the church that the offense has come. So what do you do? You not dabaru the whole church because of that? No. You go on your knee and pray for him and bless him. I say, Father, my brother, I lift him up before you. Bless him. Bless him. And you say, no, I can't hate him. I cannot. It's not possible. It's not in me. It's not in me. You pray for him. Bless him. An opportunity arises to you. You go to his house. Brother, we need to do, if you, like my brother said, if you can't see eye to eye, at least see mouth to mouth. You know, hey, brother, do you have something in your fridge there? You have chocolate. Let's chop together. Oh, brother, I have some things there. At least you have started something. Never you allow it. You are too big for that. Say, I'm too big for malice. I'm too highly lifted up than to be condescending to malice and bitterness and all that. Those are rat race. Those are rat race. What is a lion with a rat race? A rat is running to go and revenge. It's running. And then a lion, I say, I want to compete with a rat. No, you are a lion. You are an eagle. Stay where you are. Don't come low to the mess on the ground. Stay, take your honor, your dignity. You are a king. Hallelujah. You are what? You are a king. And one thing the Lord told me about a king, king are life giver. King are life giver. That is the reason for kings. They are not life taker. They are life giver. So if you do something against me, and I'm holding it against you, I'm not giving you life. I've cut off the channel of life. So I've indirectly laid down my crown. I've abdicated my throne of kingship to the spirit of malice. Your Bible says he has crowned you with glory and honor. Who is crowned? King. So if you are crowned with glory and honor, and then somebody come and smash your leg and say, hey, I will never forgive him. Hey, we are going to fight it out. What you have done, we have rejected the crown of glory and honor. So stand in the place of your honor. He said, a man that is in honor and does not understand it will do what? We die. Psalm 49, we die like a beast in the field. You are in the place of honor. Keep that honor. It's God's gift to you. Don't meddle with the things of this world. Don't meddle with it. So whenever the temptation comes, it comes. It keeps coming. Stand guard, fully guarded. Search in your heart. What does God want you to? Is it the judgment God wants you to use? Is it the testimony? Is it the law? Said the law shall proceed out of Zion. Is that not what he said in the book of Isaiah? The law. The law of God is in your heart. And the law works. You don't choose to obey the law or not to. The law of God is in your heart. So when you say it, it immediately have to be obeyed. Demons have to obey it. Witches have to obey it. So that is it, my brethren. We have what it takes, brethren, each one of us. We have what it takes to walk in continuous victory in life. The victory Jesus gave to us is not a fluke. It is real. Please make use of it. You already have the victory. You are not fighting for it. It's already yours. May the Lord give us wisdom, understanding, to be able to walk in victory continually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's go straight. We pick some scriptures. Ramping up the digging deep. I said you should do something. Did you? We just want to see the pictures. I don't know how many of us that went through it. But we just want to see the pictures. I wouldn't go through it. That will round up the digging deep. Please, can you just go to the pictures? Eh? Okay, I will. That's one of the books that I first read, giving my life to Christ. And the content therein really impacted me so much, and it's still impacted. That's why anywhere I go with that book. The Heart of Man. It was written in the either 15th or 16th century. Translated over and over again. And through that book, many thousands have come to the Lord. Many have come to realize how important to keep their heart is. The heart of man is very important. When we get to discussing the new heart, you will not joke with it. You will be like David, always asking God. He said, Lord, try my heart. Try it and let me see how I'm going to behave. Let's see, Sam, while she's looking at it, let's see Sam. Psalm 62, I think. Just go on and search for it. Okay, before we go there, let's just take Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10. Just open it in your Bible. It said the heart, I'm reading from a translation called The Voice. It said the heart is most devious and incurably sick. The heart of an unbeliever is devious and incurably sick. The sickness of the heart is incurable. Anyone that has not known Jesus, he has an incurable sickness in his heart. He can dress very well and three-piece suit and be and speak Queen English and everybody, his heart is sick. It is in such condition we came to him. He did not just heal our heart because it was incurable. What did he do? He removed it and put there a new one. He destroyed it and give you what? A brand new heart. A brand new heart. But if you don't know you have it, then the enemy will do everything within his trickery to make that heart unuseful for you. But say, my heart will be useful for me. I will use it intelligently. It's the gift of God for me. Okay, we have gone there. Okay, that is the heart of man. Go to the first picture. That's the first picture. That's the way the heart of a man is in his unregenerated state. No, keep it there. That is Satan standing right there. That is serpent. That is a lion. Not a lion of the tribe of Judah. That's a goat. That's a pig. You know, that's another frog there. That's a peacock, pride. But championing all of them is Satan standing right there. But in that state, there's an eyes there. That's the conscience that God has given to every man. Every man has it. So when you go to a man like this and tell him about Jesus Christ, he said, no, don't trouble me today. No. The conscience is pricking them. There's an eye. In every man's heart, God has that installed. He has that installed. That is God's connection. That's how God, man, know evil and good. No matter how dark the man is, he still knows to kill somebody is evil. You know, it is that eyes that make man to be able to survive, or else the wickedness in man will have destroyed each other. That eyes. But around it also, look at it, the angel of the Lord, the ministry of God's word, still coming, and the blood still being old to see if it will turn back. The Holy Spirit, move to the next one. Quickly, so that. Then the light shine. Immediately the light shine, the man received the gospel. The man received the gospel. He believed in the word of God. And immediately the angel of the Lord came in with the sword of God in his hand. Destroy them all. Give the victory. But I want you to know, and that is, you know, the spirit of revelation. Look at what the man hold in his hand. He hold the word, a skull. And he hold a sword. We will get to that. But the important thing that he drove away all those things that were there. The star came in. The light of God, the Holy Spirit to descend. And he came to judge all the things that were there. Satan has flee. He has destroyed all of them and cleansed the heart. Now go on. and a brand new heart is given to him. A brand new heart. The Holy Spirit is there. The Word of God is there. And all the other things, they are outside. But they are not too far away. They're not too far away. They are still looking for opportunity. That's where temptation comes in. They're looking for the opportunity to come in. But the man continue. Go on to the next one. We'll just look at the pictures. We can have time to go and meditate on it more. Read those things. They are very instructive. And then came in the dying of Jesus Christ. And this is a portion that many believers missed out in their journey in salvation. Because when somebody gets saved, the moment we begin to tell him is that, oh, you are all your problems are solved. Okay? It is bed of rose. Just be doing anything. So people, or rose of bed or whatever, people just begin to do anything. People come to church on Sunday morning, and in Sunday evening they go to party. It's okay. You know? So because they do not identify with the dying of Christ, the first thing a believer should be taught when he comes to the Lord is the vicarious suffering of Christ. You came in because he died for you. You remain in because you died with him. Those truths. You came in because he died for your sin. Your sins are forgiven. And you came into the church. That's not the end of his death story. You also must do what? Die with him. Be crucified with him. That's the only way you can keep your place in the body. Without the dying of Christ imprinted in your heart, you will just be like a passerby. And that's what many believers are. They come to the church, but the church never have a place in their heart. Never have a place in their heart. Because what? They do not carry the dying of Christ. Hallelujah. His dying is very important to you. Not only that he died for you, you died with him. You were crucified with him. The old man had been destroyed by that death. Hallelujah. Very important, brethren. Very important. And because many believers miss this teaching, they become discouraged. Why? When he came in, maybe before he used to do something bad, maybe tell lie, or smoke, or commit adultery, the power of Christ break that immediately. And he immediately received a release. So the things I used to do, I do them no more. And he's happy. And he's glad. And after 1 month, 6 months, 1 year, those things begin to come back gradually. Say, ah, brother, I don't know what happened. I go to church, I read my everything. The thing I don't even used to do, I find myself doing it. The reason is because, yes, he's saved. But he didn't know that he need to appropriate the death of Christ. Not as an historical truth. Not as a reality that washes him, but as a day-by-day reality in Christ that you are dead to your emotion, to your thoughts, to your will, to your desires. You are dead to it. You can no longer live by it. It can no longer rule your life. So they carry, that's why Jesus Christ said, except a man carry his cross daily and follow me, he cannot what? He cannot be my disciple. This is where discipleship comes in. Disciple means discipline. They are disciplined. Many Christians are so indisciplined in their life. They are Christian. They're talking, but they are not disciple of Christ. They are just disciple of a church or disciple of a pastor. They are not disciple of Christ. Disciple of Christ are discipline of Christ. We finish the church and then you get home. You put on Netflix. You didn't carry your Bible to go and kneel down and pray and ask God. You put on Netflix. You put on this. You watch this. You watch Bollywood. You watch Hollywood. You watch Nollywood. All the wood in this world. And by the time you leave that place, you are as like a wood. You are like a wood. Just looking around in the midst of the wood. Where is the way? Show me the way. In the wood. In the wood. Hey, brother Daniel, please pray for me. I need to know the mind of God about something. Because you are in the wood, how will you know the mind of God? So you'll be sharing prayer burden. Say, ah, brother, I need to know the mind of God concerning this. Please pray for me. Because you are in the wood. So the mind of God is blocked out. Somebody in the wood is always looking for, hey, where is the way? This one, wood, Bollywood, Hollywood, Nollywood, Collywood, everything wood. Come out of the wood, my brethren. Hallelujah. Is anybody bonded to any wood here? None, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are crucified. Say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that live, but Christ that live in me. The life I now live by faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me, who died for me. I take my place beside him, and I said, I am crucified with him. I am dead with Christ. I am buried with him. I am raised up with him. Therefore, I will live in the newness of life. The oldness of life is over. I am in a newness of life. This newness affects my mind. It affects my soul. It affects my emotion. My feelings are under the new creation man. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this should continue in our life. This is the journey we are into. The more you appropriate the dying of Christ, the more his life comes forth. Paul said that, isn't it? He said, we bear in our body the dying of Christ, that the life also of Christ might be revealed. There is no life if there is no death. There is no Christian life except there is death. You are not yet living Christian life until you have died with him. You can go to church. You can sing. You can do a brother, oh, brother, sister, they can call you that. But you don't know him. And he doesn't know you until you carry your cross, not for fancy, but died on it. Then he will raise you up. Go to the next one. The next one. Sorry. Okay. But he continued to walk in victory. Continued to walk. So what happened? With the death of Christ, the cross is still there. You know, fruitfulness begin to come. And all that fruitfulness and the Holy Spirit continue to be a beautiful heart. Go to the next one. But somehow, some way, he or she begin to allow things that needs to, not to come. And those things come with more temptations. All these are, no, it was one that was there before. Now they have come, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They have come with all their wickedness. And look at this one here. This is the one that you should be very mindful of. The one that has the knife that is choking you. That is the one that is really, really deadly. Those are slanders. Those are backbitings. Those are things that come whether from outside or even from within. People speak evil of you. People look at you and, you know, and not only that, they also go and backbite and against you. That's why, don't backbite against anybody. If you do that, this is what you are doing. This is the service of this man here with the dagger. Speak good of everyone. Whether they are good to you or not, speak good of them. Speak well of them. So that is the stage of that man. He's beginning to consider. Maybe the pain is getting too much. And he's deciding, look, I have to show this brother. I have to show him that I'm born again, but I still have my arsenal with him. If not for Christianity, I mean, some of us will, I will show him where we will have been. Like a brother tells us, he said, it's just this Christianity. I will have shown you. What will he have shown? He went and took it back. So this is the deadly man here. When you have time to read the other ones, just read it. This man. And once the pain begins to come and he cannot bear it, others begin to come in. When he cannot forgive and get healing from Christ, then what happened? The goats begin to find their way in. And they are not coming in just alone now. They are coming with their masters. So they are coming. The peacock began to come. The pig began to come. The bigger serpent, the other one was a smaller one. The frog began to come in. Because the man is walking in unforgiveness. The man is walking in bitterness. The man is walking in lust. The man is walking in all manner of things. And that is why the heart begin to do it. But go to the next one. By the time is true, this could take 10 years. This could take 20 years in the life of a man. The Bible says a little leaven. Leaven at what? The whole, just a little. It could just be a little allowance. A little, you know, a little sin. A little. Gradually, the thing is going on. The end state of that man is this one. This time around, the devil no give chance at all. This one, he brings in many more. See, he sit down there and, you know, sit down there. That's the heart of a backslider. A backslider does not backslide in a day. It's a many years walk. Many years walk. And Satan is so patient about it. He's patient like a vulture. You know, a vulture is one of the most patient animals. But he can smell death. Afar. It can smell death. They know how to. So when they see an animal that is wounded, they'll be perching after him. Watching after him. Because they know he will eventually die. At the moment he dies, they come and begin to feast on it. They don't go far. They just go. They can run away a little. They can come back. But they can smell death. There's no death in you, my brethren. There's abundant of life. Abundant of life is in you. So no devil can stay around you. In the name of Jesus. So go to the next one. This is not our lot. And then this is the final state of the man. Because he refused to repent. The day he died, maybe at 80, at 90, and all that, the devil is waiting to receive him. That's the end of a man that is born again, have a taste of the kingdom of God, know what it is. That's, I think the book of Hebrews said that. People who have touched the gift of life, who have known the thing, and they turn back and say they cannot be. That's the end of that man. That's the end of that man. That's the day he died. Go to the next one. But that's not our portion. That's not our portion. Go to the next one. But this is the other one. He continued. Bearing the death of Christ. Brothers, these are brothers' work. Still stabbing him. Okay? The devil have stopped that now. Accusation of the devil. These are brothers that are stabbing him. Or sisters. I know sisters don't stab much. These are that are stabbing him. These are brothers that are stabbing him. The first one was the devil accusing him. You are this, you are that. But he overcame that. This one, now he's already determined I'm going to be in the house of God. I say, okay. And then one brother pick him up. Or one sister. Not much of sisters. Sisters are just beautiful. Perfect heart. Glorious heart. Hallelujah. If a sister have anything, he will come and meet you straight. They don't get any corner. And meet you straight. Hallelujah. Don't you see the face of our sisters, how they are glowing? No, the brothers, the chemistry of brothers is totally different. We will not discuss it today. We'll discuss it in brothers' meeting. So that's what does, and you see, go to the next one. And this is his end. When he has gotten to 100, 90, 120 or whatever, and the Lord is ready to take him home, the angels of God, the crown is waiting for him. The crown of righteousness is waiting for him. There's a crown waiting for you. There's a crown waiting for you. And the state of your heart will determine whether you will get the crown or not. So keep your heart pure. Keep it holy. People offend you, forgive them. Release them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Bless them. Say, bless those that curse you. Pray for your enemy. Bless them. Love your enemies. I know what he says. Love them. Hallelujah. Let's be children of God. He said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Let's run for it. Hallelujah. You'll find a lasting situation coming your way. You don't say, well, I'm just going to say, no, lost. Where? Here? No, there's no way for you. You carry a sledgehammer and kill it. That sledgehammer could include 3 days of fasting. Dry fasting. Dry fasting. We drink water. Say, God, here am I. Save me. Have mercy on me. By the time you finish with prayer, that thing will run away completely. And read, as you are fasting, you are reading the word of God. You are confessing God's word. He will never come near you. But if you just say, okay, it doesn't matter. It matters. Because where that thing will lead you, even you yourself, you won't like it. So that is it, my brethren. So is there any other picture? I don't think so. I think that's the last. That's the last picture. So if you have time, read them and read with understanding with the scripture that is there. You know, and you will be more intentional about the keeping of your heart. You will know your heart. Any action, any thought that comes, any impulse that you have not responded to in action, or you have not responded to in word, still remain as it is. It has not entered your heart. The moment you respond to it, immediately it went to your heart. And if you don't quickly repent and turn from it, it will become a dragon in your heart. So be careful what you say. Careful what you say. It's what comes out of you that defile. It's not what goes inside of you. It's not what goes on. Somebody come and say, look at this brother. He's always proud. He's always thinking that he's... He has got nothing to do with you. Absolutely nothing. Oh, look at this sister. Is she the only one? She's always in... Has got nothing to do with you. You are absolutely free. Completely free. It comes to you when you say, eh. So you are talking about me. You think I didn't hear you? I heard you. I heard you. And be careful, because I'm going to show you that, you know, I that is when defilement comes in. You have just defiled yourself. But even if you hear him or hear her, and you go on your knee and say, Father, thank you. For they said much more than that to Jesus Christ. What could be more when they called the Son of Man a devil? They didn't say it in his right in his ear. They make sure he heard. They say, you are a devil. You have demons in you. Imagine any one of you here. Somebody said, well, no, you will not remove, you will not declare a fight in there immediately. But look at the way he answered him. He said, do you call me a devil? He said, you dishonor me, but my Father honors me. God, may we have your kind of heart. He was beaten, he didn't curse back. He was cursed, he didn't reply back. He said, let this mind be also in you. Let Jesus be our example in all things. In all things. Let's be like him. Let's desire to be like him. And he will make himself known to you. And when you know him, he also knows you. And in the last day, we say, come, for I know you. And Master, when did you know me? Yes, I know you. But to order, I will say, get away from me for what? I do not know you. You workers of iniquity. Brethren, let's be watchful. Diligently watch over your hearts. Keep it and guide it with all your strength. Don't speak on irrationally. Don't act just because somebody did something. So I must act back. Don't. Keep yourself in Jesus' name. What is the time now? I should 12 o'clock. We should round up now. So we want to go now because this is part of digging deep. This is part of that. This is the rounding up of that digging deep. You know, God is going to dig your heart. He's going to dig it. And he will not listen to your cry. You know that he say he's paining. No, he will wipe it away. Yeah, he will do that. But as he's listening to it, no. Are we still together? Because if you need it, he will carefully dig it out. Why is he digging it out? He wants you to know. When you know, then what happened? You are able to repent and call for him. And he deals with it. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. So what we will be talking about now is the new heart. Say, oh, Uncle Sam, since I have a new heart, what is he still digging for? After all, I have a new heart. What is it still digging for? Yeah. Did he not say that we have the mind of Christ? Did he not say that? But he still say what? Renew your mind. You do have a new heart, but you still have a work to do to keep that new heart the way it is. To justify that this is what you have. The enemy will always want to come to test whether you really have it. That's the trick of the enemy. God said, Jesus, thou art my son. Is that not what he said? Thou art my son, in whom I am well pleased. Isn't it? He just finished the baptism. And when the devil came, what did he say about him? He said, if thou be the son of God, you have a new heart. And that's why the devil will come to tempt you. You have a new heart. Okay, let's see. Let's see. And then you bring temptations. So, what those temptations does, God allows them to come. It's just to open your eyes to see what tendency could emerge if you do not guard jealously what he has given to you. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, but you have the responsibility to keep it. You have the responsibility under God to keep it, to guide it, to treasure it. Many do not treasure it. And because they do not treasure it, the enemy came and steal it away. Said the thief come not but to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal it away. And how does he steal? He steals by substitution. He brings something that looks like the original you have and put it there. And what is it? And that's why in our spiritual life, we should be very, very careful. You just finish 30 days of fasting and praying. You just finish worshiping God and have a good time with God. You just finish having a glorious moment in the presence of God. I think, oh, the whole day will be glorious for me. No. No. It is at that point that the devil now comes in. So watch it when you are ascending spiritually. Watch it when you are making strides. You are praying as you ought to. You are reading your Bible. You are worshiping God. Things are going on fine. Your life is just, you know, heaven is just come upon you. And you feel, oh, I'm just on top of. Watch it. That's why he said, take heed. You know, he that thinketh he stand, let him take it. Lest he fall. Take it. Because that's when the temptation become more possible. So stand firm and resist the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Whatever glorious thing you are experiencing with God, never you lose the sight that you are in a spiritual warfare. And when you have done all that, when you have enjoyed God, worship God, still speak to the devil. Say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. In this my new estate with God, in this my new fellowship and relationship with God, every plan, every strategies, every devices you are putting together to make me to stumble, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Put on the whole armor of God. Walk in faith. Walk in victory. But at the same time, guard your heart. And I believe that is why Paul said somewhere. He said, how did he even put it again? He's able to keep those things that I have committed to him to the end. We know that scripture, isn't it? Can you get it? Keep that which is committed to thee by the entrust. That's not it. That which is committed to you, keep it by the Holy Spirit. Keep it by the Holy Spirit. And that's why last week we said it. Don't forget to pray for your heart every day. David does that every day. Don't forget to do that. Don't forget to put it before God and extray your thoughts, your motives before him and pinpoint any area that you know is not in line with, it's just come not because God ordained it, and repent immediately. When I come back from the office, immediately I go on my knee, I extract everything I did in the day. Everything that I did in the day in the office. The way I respond to my supervisor, the way I respond to my subordinate, everything I extract them. I extract the motive behind what I did. I said, Lord, that was a wrong motive. That was, actually, I wanted to show my supervisor that I know that thing. That was why I went to him. I want to show him that, look, don't think that we black, we don't know what we are doing, sir. This thing is like this. I want to show him. And then when some junior ones come, I want to show them that me too, I know it. So I say, you know, when you did this, when you did, oh yeah, Sam, that's good. Oh, you are cool. And I say, yeah. And me too, I say, yeah, at least I'm lecturing them. So I picked that. I say, God, that was wrong motive. That was pride. That was pride. Father, have mercy on me. So we should be able to pinpoint everything. And when you are so sensitive to your heart in that way, God will keep you to the very end. You will never fall. You will never fall. That was the secret of David. By the grace of God, we are going to consider what it means when God said, a man after my heart. That's a very powerful statement. A very powerful one. No wonder this man will hear the conversation going on in the heart of God. Look at Psalm 45. Please, can you look? I still keep looking at that. Look at Psalm 45, verse 1. Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart is indicting a good matter. Whose heart? Whose heart is in reference there? Whose heart? Whose heart? My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. Whose heart is he referring to? God's heart. But his heart and God's heart have become so united that God's heart is his own heart. Whatever God is thinking, he's thinking it. Whatever God is meditating, he's meditating. As the heart of God was thinking about his son and the bride that he has prepared for his son. Psalm 45 is a song of the bridegroom and the bride. It's a thing that he has made. Touching the king. And David peeking to the heart of the Father. May our heart be so in tune with the Father that we can know what the Father is meditating in his heart. You can peep the thought of the Father. No wonder again in Psalm 110, said the Lord, said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand. David, he doesn't have half of what you have today. He doesn't have it. Christ have not died. He's still under the sacrifice of bull and a man walk in that realm. Brethren, we need to buckle up. We need to buckle up. No joke, no play around. I keep saying, whatever make God to say to a man, you are a man after my heart. That is, the pursuit of David is not Amorite. It's not the Philistine. Or it's not any brother that is coming to take his throne. Even his son came to say, the throne, please take it. That's not what I'm after. The throne, no. The son came and said, it's your throne I want. Do you want the throne? Is it only the throne? Everything in the house, I give it to you. He was pursuing the heart of the Father. He saw his enemy. Oh, my enemy. Oh, kill him. He said, no, the heart of the Father. I can't do that. He's anointed of God. May we pursue the heart of the Father. May we make that our pursuit in life. May we make that our desire. I don't want anything. I just want the heart of the Father. I want to get that heart. I want to have that kind of heart in me. I want it. I don't want any other thing. I don't want anything you can talk. I don't want it. I just want the heart of the Father. So David was pursuing the heart of the Father. Why people are pursuing the throne? People are pursuing the kingdom. People want to be one thing. They want to be. You can go and do it. What I'm looking for is the heart of the Father. Once I can get the heart of the Father, I'm okay. I'm satisfied. May that satisfy you and me. May all our pursuit and running life come to an end. May we pursue the written, the heart of the Father. And that is what God actually desires you and me to have. His heart, his kind of heart. For we are created in his image and in his likeness. And we are supposed to manifest the content of his heart. When we get to the new heart, you will now see why God is after your heart. That is the most priceless jewel he's after in your life. And when you can make his heart your heart, he has conquered you completely. And we will get there in the name of Jesus. Begin to talk to the Lord. Say, God, make me such a man. Make me such a man. Did you see pride in your heart? Did you see lust? The Bible says out of the heart comes evil thoughts, immorality, adultery. Jesus Christ said this is what comes from the heart. Your relationship with that brother, your relationship with that sister, is it from a pure heart of God? Is it from a perfect heart or from some selfish motives? This is the time for us to lay our heart bare before him and cry and say, God, help me, help me, have mercy on me. If this continue like this, I know I'm going to end it very badly. But if you help me today, and I know surely you have helped me, I will end it gloriously. And I want to end it gloriously. Cry to God. Lift up your hand with your heart in your hand and say, Lord, this is it. This is it. You know everything therein. You know what I don't know. You see what I don't see, Lord. Purge me within. Create in me a clean heart. A perfect heart. A pure heart. Let your love be in my heart. Let my heart be inclined towards your testimony. Let my heart yield towards, not towards covetousness. The book of Psalm 119. He said, incline my heart towards thy testimony. Towards your word. Not towards covetousness. Passionate desire for things of this world. Say, Lord, give me a new heart. Give me a change of heart. A pure heart. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What can you compare to seeing him? What is so important in your life than seeing God? What is worth pursuing in life than to see him? And it's not something sweet by and by. Oh, pure in heart. Then one day, no. We see him every day. We maintain a pure heart. You see him. He made himself known to you. His word become clearer to you. Has got to help you. Has got to strengthen you. Has got to keep you to the end. That your heart will be pure. Your heart will be circumcised and renewed in the heart.